Welcome to the Ocean Show.
Well, try that again. You could do better than that.
Daddy,
let's go.
Can you say welcome to the Two Hosers Photo Show?
Yeah. Let's go.
Wow. What about you? Can you do better than that?
Welcome to the photo show.
Pretty
let's
good.
Let's go. Let's go.
Is that it? Should we start? All right, let's roll. Hello and welcome to episode 267 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Vancouver Adam.
Well, yeah.
Perfect. What, you don't get it?
Yeah. No,
Adam
I understand.
From Vancouver? Yeah, I was just trying to speed things along.
You'd mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. What is going on, Adam?
Wrestling.
Wrestling?
Yeah, me and Jack went to wrestling last weekend.
Where? What wrestling?
The big leagues, the WWE. They're in about, I don't know, an hour from us in Abbotsford, BC. So we went out to Abbotsford to watch wrestling. Our third time to live WWE with Jack.
Nice. Yeah,
it was awesome. We just so happened to be seated right where the big star of the main event, the big star of the WWE right now, his name is Roman Reigns, which probably won't mean anything to you.
Mm-mm.
He enters through the crowd, and he just so
Whoa.
Happened to enter right in the tunnel, right directly behind us. Like, there was nobody seated behind us. We were the last row, basically, of the lower bowl where it goes to a tunnel.
Uh-huh.
And he entered right behind us. So I kind of had an inkling it was going to happen, so... I didn't have a camera or anything. I just had my phone, and I basically took a, I don't know, 45, 50 second video of what happened, which was, again, if you imagine yourself as a 7-year-old or almost 7-year-old like Jack, it was mm-hmm. the greatest moment of his life.
Yeah, I bet.
So
was
I have
he sitting
video
on the aisle? Did he get right next
to
him?
Oh, yeah. He got a fist bump, and we're literally, like, there's nobody in between us. We're standing right there. He's a massive individual. So it was kind of, and again, I'm shooting with the phone in my hand, sort of angled up because we're the first row as he comes in just below him. So I'm shooting the video straight up at him. And if I think he's probably about 6'5", 275, something like that. And so he looks about, I don't know, 7'8" from that angle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
he's a big dude, all tattooed up. And anyway, so I have this video, which I thought the funny thing would be, like, Jack would go, like, Jack actually just bought the guy's t-shirt at the concession. Mm-hmm. And so it was, again, it was kind of cool that
it's
it happened
huge on
like
Jack,
that.
Though, right?
What's that? Oh, yeah. It's pretty big on him, and he got the smallest size.
Oh.
But, basically, I thought I better get this on video to prove when he goes to his friends the next day and says, oh, yeah, I got a fist bump from Roman Reigns. I thought, like, I would think, yeah, the kid's lying. So I had to make sure I got a little video clip to prove that we were actually there and it happened. So
yeah. That's where we're at now with our technology, just to prove your kid's not a liar.
Yeah, to prove your kid's not a liar. So I think I might post it on Facebook or something. It is one of those things that you kind of have to appreciate who it is. And most mm-hmm. people probably have no idea who this guy is. But again, he is on TV, you know, 2 or 3 times a week with wrestling. So if you have ever watched wrestling in the last 3 or 4 years, you'll recognize the guy. He's a big, big Samoan dude. Mm-hmm. And he pre-soaks himself. Like, he must, like, just spray himself down with water beforehand. And so even the fist bump gets your hand wet. he hasn't been in the ring yet. Again, he's just on his way to the ring. But, yeah, even that. And also, I'm taking the video up, and I don't know if the video really catches. I think you catch 1 or 2 water droplets falling down. But I literally got wet because I'm standing underneath him. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, shaking it. He's got long hair. He shakes his hair back. He's doing the big, like, you know, I love you to the crowd. And I'm literally getting rained on. I got water in my eyes from
his name is Roman Reigns.
Yes. Yeah, so, he was raining.
So
yeah,
it rains. I'm assuming that's part of the deal.
But it's rain like R-E-I-G-N.
So he reigns supreme in the ring, and he also reigns.
Yes, the shirt says the Roman Empire. Like, he's the reigning.
Maybe maybe if he was invisible as well, be the Claude Rains, be perfect.
Yes, that's a good point.
No, I'll have a talk with his management.
So,
see if anyways, we can add that.
I just wanted to prep that video that if I put it on Facebook, people will know what the heck I'm talking about. So I think now I have to put it on Facebook.
You have no choice. Otherwise, yeah. This is really a big waste of our time.
Yeah, okay. I'll put it on Facebook.
Hey,
yeah.
Next time you want to go to local wrestling,
okay.
Let me know. I know a guy.
You know a guy.
I know a guy in the local wrestling scene.
Cool.
So maybe I can't pull some strings, but I'm sure he'll just pull some strings and do something cool for Jack.
They only come about once a year, so
no, the local thing. I'm talking about the local wrestling.
I don't even know what that is.
Just some street fights I know about.
Okay.
It's the back of a McDonald's. Don't ask a lot of questions, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
First rule about Street Fight Club, buddy.
In other photography related
No, but listen,
news.
For real, there actually is a Vancouver and a whole West Coast kind of based wrestling circuit.
Okay, I know they play at the little like
Italian cultural center.
Ukrainian
hall.
Yeah, there's one, and they have it every, I don't know, 4 or 5 months in the Richmond one, and we've never been to that. We're all about the big leagues.
Okay, but...
But we'll go.
There's one in Kits, I think. I think there's a Ukrainian hall in Kits.
Yeah, there is. Or the Russian one or something.
It might be there. Yeah. I think the Russian one just moved in, took it over, but... too soon? Sorry.
A little bit too soon, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Anyways, we'll talk after the show, but you want to go if you go to something like that, it might be pretty cool.
Okay.
So there's that.
All right.
Photography? Go ahead. Do you have stuff?
Well, I have another project that I'm going to do this weekend. So this is a paid project, but I'm going to do another hockey team composite green screen compilation photo for another team. So,
So you're stealing money out of that guy's mouth.
Apparently,
money?
I didn't recruit anything. This just came to me. So again, this is the Seafair. That's our hockey organization.
First of all, even if you did actively search this out, go ahead. It's the law of the jungle. Either you're good or you're not. I don't care. That guy doesn't get to keep the job just because he knows people and because we're all going to play fair. If you think you can do it at a better price and you're willing to do it, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm not actively seeking this out, but it did come to me and somebody emailed me from another team and said, you know, would you be willing to do this for our team? And I said, yeah, sure. So, you know, we negotiated our price and basically I'm going to do the same thing this weekend, show up at the rink with my green screen. And mm-hmm. once the kids are finished their game, we're just going to shoot them one at a time and then I'll put it all together. And I've already pre-shot the background. They play at the same, their home rink is the same home rink as our team. So I'm just going to use the same background that I use, which is just the empty rink that we play on, and then lay their photos on and put their team name on. And I think it's something now that once I've done it once, my workflow and the time it will take me will definitely be faster this go around.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
No question. And I mean, you have to expect that after this incident, word will get out and people will, like, the other guy who does this will find out.
Oh, I'm sure eventually, though, someone will find out.
And speaking of that street fight behind McDonald's.
Yeah.
No. But here's the thing is let me ask you a question. Like, you know, you have your going rate to be a massage therapist and
physiotherapist.
And so you have all your clients. Now, if somebody comes in and does a better job for less money, would you cry about it?
No.
There you go. That's all you have to know. I know you're not wrestling with this. You're just going to go ahead and do it. But I know that some of the backlash is you know, people are would always say, well, you can't take money out of, you know, out of his wallet. And like, I don't think you are.
I think the difference too is that their opportunity has come and gone. Like, they do the one tournament every year. They show up and they do that tournament. It would be a little different if I was doing it side by side. At like, this is, again, I think they negotiate with the organization to be there for this time and, mm-hmm. and do it during the tournament. So this is completely different. They whoever bought the photos from then at that point, that's their business. And I'm basically not interfering with their business. This is people that are like, hey, maybe we would like something, and they're deciding it now. They're not that company is not coming back to do this.
You don't have to justify it to me, man.
No, I'm just saying
both pro and against Uber. I have arguments on both sides, which I'm not going to make now. But this, you're kind of the Uber of this.
Yeah, I'm just sort of, I'm a little bit against the standing in there and undercharging while they're doing their work. I don't like that. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that if that was me on the other side of that coin.
No, but if word gets out that holy, you know, Adam does a great job at this, maybe next tournament we'll just deal with him and this guy's gone.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that scenario.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Not like I'm you're going to come sure in.
There's a difference though that for me is that I don't want to operate on that scale. No. I would never take that business because I don't want to shoot 22 teams in 3 hours. I'm just not going to do that.
No.
So they don't have to worry about me sort of stealing their big business plan. I'll do one or two teams a year that I have some sort of relationship with, and that'll be fine for me.
Done.
So there you go.
Cool. Looking forward to hearing
not seeing
that.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to see that one.
I might share it with you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I just talked my way into a cool job.
Okay.
Which I'm not even going to talk about. That's just a tease.
Oh, great. Yeah.
This is a tease that I'll either talk about next week or likely the week after. But it's, it's pretty pleased with myself for talking my way into it. And that's, it'll be worth
telling.
That's
the takeaway. That's the takeaway.
That'll be, I'll tell the first full story either next week or the week after, depending when we're
okay,
record.
I'll forget to remind you, so hopefully you'll remember.
Oh, I'll remember. It's all about me, man.
Okay, all right.
Spent a lot of this week, some of my off time, which I don't really have any, but spent a lot of it organizing a lot of old photos, which we're going to talk about later.
Okay.
However, during this process, I realized a couple things. One, I used to have dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I can't believe. Is that me? Was I dying at that? No, I actually had dark hair, and I took a lot of bad digital photos. A lot of them, an absurd amount of photos that I look at now and think, what was I doing? Like, what was my thought process at that time? Why do that? Why take that photo?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that going on. I bet you I'm not the only one. So I was going through sorting them, trying to whittle it down, and I ended up having to choose which of the horrible photos I was going to keep just so I could, sort of document that part of my life. I didn't want everything to be gone, so I'm like, all right, well, I guess that's the least worst of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
And, yeah.
Good that's job. The end of the story.
Well, no, we'll talk about more about that later.
I just have a product update. Haven't talked about any products or anything for I don't know, quite a while, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've had those Pocket Wizard triggers for a while, and mm-hmm. I sort of use them side by side with the Yang Nuo triggers that I also have.
Okay.
If anybody's considering, don't buy the Pocket Wizards.
Really?
Yeah, they're no better. That's all I can say.
They're no better.
They're not in my experience. I guess if you're shooting 300 meters away and around a corner of a brick wall, maybe they would perform better. I don't have a need to do that.
What does that come up? 3 times a week max?
Yeah, exactly. So all I'm saying is that I'm not thrilled with the build quality. That's okay. For sure. I think.
Well, hang on. Are you going to try to unload them before? Try to unload them on Craigslist?
No, I'm not going to unload them at all. They're still fine, and I have no problem. They just don't work any better.
Really?
So they're no better.
And price-wise?
Price-wise, they're 4 times as expensive.
Wow.
Their resale is very good. You can turn around and get back what I paid for them. I can turn around and get back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's not even that. I'm just, unbiased review. They don't work any better than the Yang Nuo's. And arguably, if you have the Yang Nuo,
controller
transmitter, yeah, the controller. I'd argue the Yang Nuo's are better because you actually can control zoom on each of your flashes with the Yang Nuo, which you cannot do with the Pocket Wizard setup.
Wow!
So it gives you that addition. Like, not that that comes up that much either, but it's just it has an extra ability to control parameters that you don't even get with the Pocket Wizards. Everyone argues the reliability is the big difference with Pocket Wizards. I've never had a misfire with those Yang Nuo triggers, and so I just can't imagine why, that it's 4 times as expensive. Now, again, we talked about the technology and blah, 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 and the cost of the R&D and everything else. But yeah, if you're going out tomorrow to buy a set of triggers, just save yourself the money and buy the Yongnuos, and then for sure buy the transmitter, the little TX 62. For Nikon it's an N, and for Canon it's a C, and then it's a TX, and that thing is gold. It can do everything, and you don't need with the Pocket Wizards, you need to buy another extra controller that goes on top. And again, it's super slick and easy, but again, not worth four times the money. So if you're on any kind of budget, no question in my mind, I would still stick with the Yongnuos, which I use, probably 75% of the time, just because I have two of them in the controller and I have two Canon flashes. Anytime I need to go to more than a two flash setup, then that's where I go to the Pocket Wizards.
Okay, and if you really, really, really have to have Pocket Wizards, just get some like gaffer's tape, put it over top of your Yongnuos, and scribble with a felt pen, put PW on it.
Yeah. I'm just a little bit disappointed in just the build quality for that price, too. The thing should be made out of aluminum or something.
Right. But you should be really excited about what you get for the Yongnuos.
Yes. And again, there are things that, if you really need to do that the Pocket Wizards can do that the Yongnuos can in terms of their hypersync and blah, blah, blah. Still never used it or tried it. Just, again, it doesn't come up.
Mm-hmm.
So just anyways, just an update. Buy the, Yongnuos.
Do it.
Yeah. And not I get a, nothing not a, for saying that. So that's not a just sponsor. My opinion. Yeah.
Not a sponsor. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No. Oh, my video of Roman Reigns. Yeah,
your video, we heard about that.
Yeah. It's a horrible... Oh, you're going to cringe when you see like the cameras all over the place and like I'm trying to watch my kid. And I again, this is the moment where I'm watching my kid. So the video's up and down and you get kind of a little bit nauseous watching it. I'm just going to give you that sort of lead in.
You don't need to shoot good video because there probably exists a ton of good video on the guy. So like your little experience with him doesn't need to be recorded on full, 4K.
No,
that you can play back. You want that personal experience, and it being kind of lousy is oddly part of the experience.
Yeah, and the
I have
one
no problem
thing,
with that.
The one thing I did think to do, and this is kind of basically you kind of chirping in my head, is kind of shoot. I made sure to sort of shoot my kid before any of this stuff happened. I had, again, a pretty good idea what was going to happen is I took a 5 seconds worth of just my kid sitting there getting ready. And then, what happens is the action. But if I just shot what happened with him, again, no context of Jack and Jack being there, and it's dark too. So, I shot my, what do you call it? Shoot your,
coverage.
What do you call it? Yeah, shoot your coverage.
You but go. You're not going to edit this, which is what that's for. But
there's
still,
zero it editing. It's 45 seconds or whatever of just what happened. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. We had fashing here, which is like carnival.
Yeah.
We had that, so I shot a little bit of that. The challenge for me to make it interesting was to make it interesting this year since we've been to fashing before. And nothing
We've
much.
Been to fashing many times.
Every year, once a year at this time, and it's pretty much the same parade every year. It's the same because the masks involved, like the people who are in the parade, they're in the fashion clubs, and they have their costumes, and some of them wear masks, and those are really intricate, like really like hand carved wooden masks. So they're not doing that every year. So it's not like, look at those. This is something special this year. It's kind of the same thing. It's still a lot of fun. It's fun to watch and be part of. But I didn't feel the need to go out and document the whole thing. So, and plus, it was absolutely hammering down rain this year. Like just a wall of water coming down.
Okay, yeah.
And so I wasn't super thrilled about that. Everybody still went, which was kind of nice. It's a rain or shine kind of thing. But part of their deal is they shoot confetti into the crowd and sawdust and stuff. And so with the rain, it makes for quite a paste. So that's a lot of fun. But I did snap a couple of photos only just of my kids just to, hey, that was this year. Here's what my kids, my son dressed as a hippopotamus and he likes to do. And then and my daughter was a princess or a fairy or something like that.
Okay.
Over top of the rain jacket, of course.
Right.
So that was
that always adds something to the costume.
Yeah. Oh no, the fairy stuff was over the rain. Like that was the key. It wasn't underneath. We didn't hide, and the hippopotamus as well. It was over the rain clothes.
So extra poofy.
a little bit extra poofy, but other than that, not much. But we did have this. I meant to tell you earlier. We had one of my best friends. I've known him forever. Was in town this week. Just came over for a couple days, and he was here on work, and popped down for a couple days. And this is a guy I've known, you know, forever.
Right.
We were out in town. Me and him took the kids into town to kind of walk around. We go to leave and found ourselves in this situation. I'm in the car. Kids are in the car. He's going to get in the car. And I do the Wayne Arnold on him.
I'm not familiar.
You know the episode when Kevin tries to, he's at the mall trying to get in the car and Wayne keeps driving away on him?
I know the move.
That's the move.
Yeah.
That's the Wayne Arnold. And so it's a move we'd always done growing up.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd stop at the age of 31 like us, you know? Okay, we're in our 40s now. But you'd think you'd stop, except for I thought it'd be hilarious because there's quite a few people around. So every time he went to get in the car, I would just pull away and honk the horn so that everybody would turn and look at him. Which I thought I'd do once or twice, but my kids loved it. They were laughing so hard that I just couldn't stop. So it went on for about half a kilometer. But
I was going to say three or four blocks.
Yeah, something like that. You know, and so, but again, kids just thought that was the greatest. So much so that he, you know, he left the next day, which, you know, as scheduled, he didn't leave early. But the next day, I'm in the car with the kids, and my wife's coming out to get, we're going to go somewhere together. And my daughter says, can we drive away on Mama? I said, no, yeah. that's
not. I don't
think
that's going to go over so well.
I've done it to her before, but not in front of the kids. Right. Anyways, I thought that my kids' reaction to their dad doing that was priceless.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm never going to stop doing that.
Okay. All right.
Didn't photograph it though. Wish I had. This week's photo challenge was B-sides.
Right.
As we discussed last week. So if you didn't hear last week's show, I recommend you have a listen. Listen to Amber and Adam and I try to explain B-sides. I don't know if I did a good job.
No, it's a horrible job.
Okay, let's not get too melodramatic.
Okay.
But I know what I meant about B-sides. Anyway, the challenge this week was B-sides, which I don't think you were too enthusiastic about.
I don't know. Normal enthusiasm.
So zero. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's have a look at your photo first. Here's Jack, evidently just back from his Mexican vacation. Kid looks tan.
Yeah. And I think it's part of it's just the light. It's just the overcast and there's a little bit of sun coming through. It was a really kind of nice day. Like even though there's kind of clouds in the background, it was a really nice day. Mm-hmm. And both him and Sarah in the photos that I took are quite tan. Yeah.
So tell me about this photo. First of all, we know what's going on here. This is an offbeat moment at the playground. So this definitely is a B-side. It's something that, you know, you wouldn't, when you think about photographing your kid at the playground, you're probably not thinking about this little in-between moment. You're thinking about him doing his American Ninja Challenge.
Yeah. There was a lot of him, you know, swinging and smiling, and I thought, well, no, that's kind of not, that's the typical photo, and we wanted exactly one of these in between moments. And then I showed Lisa about six because I thought, you know, based on what Amber was saying last week, she was saying how these moments really speak to her as a mom. So I kind of thought, okay, I'm going to get mom's opinion. I'm going to show her a group of seven or eight of these moments, and I'm going to see what speaks to mom, because again, I think moms have a good intuition when it comes to some of these moments. And no question in her mind, of all the photos I showed her, this was the one. She kept coming back. She was like, I really like this one. And I was trying to get her to explain why to me, and she didn't really have, you know, she said it was kind of, you know, the way his arm was positioned, the way he was looking off. I liked just the way it's framed, the composition of it, just with the, you know, it's very linear, and he's right in the middle of these posts and framed by the swinging monkey bars, and mm-hmm. it's not rule of thirds, but it's divided into thirds by the elements in the scene, and he's right in the middle, and I liked it too. There's a couple others that I liked, again, just a bit more smiley face, but nope, Lisa was like, nope, that's the one. I'm like, okay, mom rules here, so mm-hmm. we went with this one.
Now, did you shoot this on purpose, or did you how did you come about to get this photo?
Well, he was basically, they were playing on the playground, and so, you know, Jack loves monkey bars, so he'd go back and forth and back and forth, and then, I can't remember, Sarah's yelling at, from across the playground something at him, and I decided, okay, this is an in-between moment, he's not mm-hmm. conscious of the camera one bit, he's kind of holding on, he was kind of dangling off the end for a point, and then I just like, okay, I'm going to shoot a couple in-between moments, and so that's kind of what I was doing. I wasn't shooting the action or shooting when they were kind of, you know, knew or were conscious of the camera. I was just shooting some of the in-between. So I probably had, I don't know, 30 photos of in-between moments at the playground, and then I just kind of, you know, wean them down to what I like the best.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's a good photo. Everything you said, I agree with 100%. The reason this one will not make your wall is the unfortunate background.
Oh, yeah, and that's just what the background is at this playground. So this is kind of at their school playground, and they're just building you can see they're building a new house right directly in behind them, and there's houses around. And I tried to make it a little more interesting by, you know, getting down low and shooting up at the angle to make sort of some of that. There was some clouds there that, again, gave it a little bit a little bit more interesting than if I'd shot this level or shot this down. It was a much less pleasing background, so I figured this is about as good as I was going to do as far as the background was concerned.
Yes, not much you can do. I mean, you have the porta potty back there.
Yeah,
and I thought about it when I saw your image. I thought, you know, well, maybe if you crop it so that, like, you know, crop both sides and get rid of that. But then it didn't work because I do like the linear part of the playground and all that. That's definitely a part of the image that makes it work. And the space on either side. You know, if you crop in tight, now it's just a tight shot of your son. You have a
like
bunch of those.
No. Yeah, and I tried different crops to see if I'd like it better, and I came back to, no, I liked it just better how I ended up with it. But yeah, it, again, wasn't intended to go on the wall, but I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's just that's what the background is. And I could have tried to, you know, shoot it completely out of focus, again, it was just one of those in-between moments. Just caught it and went with it, so.
Yep, definitely. Still a good photo, even though you got the porta potty. It reminds me of the Arts County Fair. So, which is probably coming, well, I guess, in April. But okay, let's have a look at mine. I took my kid to our batting cage, like this is the one our team has.
Yeah,
and just forget why did we go. Oh yeah, we had practice or something like that. So I took my son with me and let him take a couple rips. And okay. This was that. That's all this was. Nothing. I didn't shoot this on purpose. And that's kind of where I end up finding a lot of my B-sides is later on. I look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So I took my camera to snap a few photos of him hitting.
Mm-hmm.
He's not hitting here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very clear what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's... I ended up liking this photo. I'm way more in love with this photo than I thought I would be, or that anybody should be, maybe. So there you go.
It seems like the ball might be a little high for him.
That's as low as the tee goes.
Okay.
Yeah, so he does. He likes the ball up in the zone, Adam. And, you know, that's where he likes to chase it. Yeah. No, I mean, the bat's a little bit big for him. Interestingly, or not interestingly, you be the judge. That's my bat from when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
Brought it over with me this summer. And so here he is swinging my bat in Germany. And it's like, this is obviously a nice moment for me.
Yeah.
To me, there's enough going on here. We're inside. This is in our inside batting cage. So that's like terrible fluorescent lighting.
Yeah.
Which is why we use a little technique I like to call black and white.
Yeah, that was my next question. I was going to ask about the black and white.
Yeah, the colors were just, you know? I mean, it's not bad. It's like, cause we have a nice green turf on the ground, that even though it's worn out, and the background is, you know, it's okay. But the fluorescent light doesn't do you any favors. It just kind of looked blech. So I thought we'll go with black and white. And so this is, I think this is the first image I snapped. I snapped a whole bunch of images of him hitting, but for him to actually, you know, be 2 years old and to go retrieve the ball and put it on the tee himself and then take a swing, I thought that was so cool. And so I took this photo, so the first one I took, before as I hadn't even squatted down yet. I took a whole bunch more from a lower angle. Like, this is slightly elevated. Mm-hmm. But it's just quickly, like almost a test shot, I think, just to check on lighting and then fire away. But I liked everything that's going on, like him, the look on his face of concentration, everything that's going on in this snapshot just was the reason that I said, yeah, this is the B-side to me. This is the one I'm keeping.
Okay.
So that's it.
That's it.
Nothing special.
I like it. It looks like a snapshot. My only critique would have probably been the what you said, the angle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you like the angle. I would have looked for
No. I did. The rest of the angles are better angles, but I did not replicate the concentration.
Right.
The moment is not replicated in the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, like I have good ones of him swinging and hitting the ball with a smile on his face. That's a great one. Definitely an A side. Not what I wanted to keep. And I posted this on my own Facebook last week just cause. I could have posted a swinging one or whatever it was, but for some reason this one kind of was, you know, a really nice moment for me. And so I went with this one. So
I like it.
There you go. And all simply just, hey, 40D with a 30 mil lens. That's it.
Great.
Still cannot get rid of that camera. It will not die. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I guess. You know, I keep trying. okay, this week's topic is going to be dry toast.
Oh, no.
No, it's amalgamation. What do you do, man? Like, I mentioned earlier I was going through old photos. I have a ton, thousands and thousands and thousands of old photos from film cameras, from film point and shoots, from digital point and shoots, from whatever. Like, just you think of all the pictures that you have taken over the years. Mm-hmm. Do you have access to them? I don't mean access, but like instant, like, hey, man, I'm going to go through and look at what happened in you know, February of 2002. You're not.
Yeah, I pretty much do. I have them all in folders and organized. Yeah,
from way back when.
From way back when. Some in the early going, they're organized like as, you know, not as nicely as the last, let's say, 5 years. So they might be 2014. So, you know, like I'd have to sort through each. So I probably have 500 photos just in a folder that says 2014.
Well, not 2014.
Yeah, 2010 or whatever.
Right.
So I do have the photos. If I really wanted to look, I could, but they're much more neatly organized in the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years.
Good for you. I mean, I have so many going way back that, and there's so many sources. Like you think about it now, like back in the old days when you had a film camera, right?
I never did, but
you never had a point and shoot film camera?
No, I didn't.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. And your folks, what did, like, they must have?
I don't know what they had. Like, we
photos
don't,
exist
I have about
of you.
8 photos of myself from my childhood.
Oh, wow, okay. So yeah. So for me growing up, you know, my dad had a, you know, he had an SLR, he had a Canon FTB, and took a lot of photos with that. And my mom had like a point and shoot, but I ended up buying like a point and shoot 35 mil when I traveled and stuff like that. So those existed. So you know, you have your photo albums of you and your friends, which, again, like you said, I could fit. Without editing photos, like just all the photos I took on a full roll, every single one would go into that album, you know. And so, you know, one album would represent 6 years, which is not, you know, forget it. Good luck now with every single photo you take. You couldn't get it into 6 albums each year, and so you have all that, and then maybe, you know, your friends they get an extra copy printed and give you one, and so. Over time, you collect all these photos from, and then you throw in your digital point and shoots. You have your friends, you have your iPod, iPad. So many sources of photos coming in.
I'm just giving you an update right now. I started getting good in 2012. They're sorted. 2011. One giant folder.
There you go. Yes, yeah. which it's pretty much what I have. Now, so here's my background. Like, here's the background of what I ended up started doing this week. I got my first DSLR, which I still have, the one that won't die, the 40D. I got that at the end of, like, around November of 2007.
Okay.
And at the beginning, all I shot was JPEG. Like, just JPEG, strictly JPEG, didn't shoot RAW, didn't know what RAW was, really. Mostly CF cards were expensive and small.
Right.
And hard drives weren't exactly limitless either. They were much better than the couple years prior, but they were sort of at the beginning of getting cheap and big. And so, consequently, I didn't, you know, I was still... And I was still learning the ropes of digital photography. Up to then, I've been a film guy. So for the first year, I shot exclusively JPEG. And I shot a ton of JPEG. I shot and shot and shot and shot and shot.
Okay.
Never deleted. Just kept everything. Okay?
Oh, no.
But sometime at the end of 2008, I started shooting RAW exclusively. Like, okay. When I was shooting with my DSLR.
Right.
Exclusively RAW, which is a benchmark for me and for this story, oddly, because that's when
we're,
I started...
We're at the halfway point, right?
as far as you know. I might record a bunch after you hang up.
Okay.
But that's when I... In end of 2008, that's when I started using Aperture, because up to that point, JPEGs were easy to organize and, you know, and process and all that. They processed in camera, for one thing.
Right.
You weren't doing a whole lot of processing, but now that you're shooting RAW... You need to process them. And so Aperture became my tool of choice and also for organizing, you know? So for the first couple of years after that, for 2008 on, I would only shoot and process. No deleting. No marking pictures that I liked. Like, I was really laissez-faire about the whole thing.
Okay.
Which, yep. That's French for lazy.
Okay.
No, that's a big mistake. Big mistake not to go through and somehow tag them, delete them, whatever. Like, it just became just a hot mess. So at that point, after about 2 years, I guess it was, I then decided to go back and tighten my digital belt.
Okay.
Right? So from then on, from that point until now, up until today, I have been extremely vigilant after spending like a month of going back through all my photos, tagging them, you know, deciding I like this one, don't need the same, you know, I took 8 photos of the same thing, I'm going to keep one, only need one, pick that one, delete the other 7. That was my move. I'd go through and do it, permanently deleting them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Thus increasing the value of that one, but that's probably a different topic. Since then, after those first month or 2 months or however long it took me to go back, I have been vigilant about staying up to date with my organizing and my backing up, but specifically culling my images.
Right.
So except for special circumstances, like a holiday, a vacation or something like that, rarely am I ever more than 3 days behind from shooting.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You kind of have to. Otherwise, it just gets away from you and you can't do it. And again, to this day, I permanently delete the discards. Don't
Me
look
too.
Back. Yes.
Yep.
Hot move.
Right, you know, away on import, I do it.
Really? Well, yep. You've already decided which ones you're keeping?
I import, and then, no, I just, when as I'm importing them, I'm sort of going through them and just getting rid of them. I'm removing
them. Oh, I see.
Like, so I don't usually do it on the back of the camera so much. I usually wait to see what they look like on the computer before I start deleting them.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes if it's a clear miss, then yeah, I'll delete it on the camera. But oftentimes from the photos I'm out doing, I'll import them. And then as they're literally importing, I'm going through them and just like chucking the ones that I don't like.
Right. Exactly. Exactly what I do. And they're gone. People say, well, you should keep everything because what if never materializes?
Mm-hmm.
That what if never comes up. The only time in the history of what if was the famous one of Bill Clinton and the girl with the dress. He'd lied and said he'd never met her before. Some guy had a photo, a discard of him meeting her a month earlier or something like that. I'm not going to tell the whole story here. Google it if you want. But that was, and then he ended up selling that picture or something like that, which had he thrown it out, never would have happened. Okay? Hmm. That's the one what if. There's not very many what ifs. I don't meet what's her name with the dress too often.
Is it Monica Lewinsky?
That's the name. Yes. I mean, I maybe see her at the kids' playground once every month. That's about it. Other than that, yeah, zero contact. So I don't really need to have that photo. So my recommendation, and Adam does the same thing, do not look back. Delete those photos and get on with your life. Those pictures that you do keep will go up in value immensely that second. So with this in mind, I keep shooting and into Aperture, and you know, life is good. In 2015, I moved to Lightroom, right? As did you.
Yeah.
Lightroom's much better. Should have started with that at the beginning. Love Lightroom. Aperture, I think they just stopped updating, so no one really cares. Lightroom is great. I did not bring my RAW files with me. I started fresh in 2015. That's the demarcation point. All my RAW became processed in Lightroom.
Right.
I didn't go back and bring my RAWs in, my RAW files from previous years, because you can't really do that. You can, but you have to reprocess all those kind of by hand. You can't copy those the processing parameters from Aperture to Lightroom.
Right.
So I just started fresh. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I still have all my old film photos and digital point and shoots to deal with.
Okay.
They're just sitting on a hard drive somewhere. At least two hard drives. Never being seen. I'm not going through them. I'm not enjoying those photos because they're just in a big lump in one big folder saying 2010, forget about me.
Right.
But what's the point of having them if you don't ever look at them? So I needed
no
a plan.
Point. There's no point.
No, there's no point. I needed a plan. I wanted to bring those digital photos and film photos back into the fold.
Okay.
So I had to figure, okay, how am I gonna do this? How am I gonna amalgamate all these into one thing, like into something manageable? So I decided, okay, I'm gonna bring them all into Lightroom. That's gonna be the first, like, that's where they're going to exist. So originally I thought, well, you know, I could do multiple catalogs in Lightroom. Mm-hmm. That way I'm not bogged down, like everything's in one place. However, word around the campfire is that people are saying that Lightroom is really super awesome, fantastic at cataloging tens and tens of thousands of images. Because they are inherently, they're referenced files, mm-hmm, and not like Aperture's managed library.
Right.
Which was optional, but whether you did it or not, whatever. Point being is that they say Lightroom can handle the workload. So just put them all into one and your life would be fine.
Okay.
So I decided to trust them. Hopefully we can trust them. So far, so good. So now what? I decide on Lightroom. What's my next step? Well, first, I go and find all my old JPEGs from my various point-and-shoot cameras I've had. The Nikon 2100. Like, I had a point and shoot starting in like 2003 or something like that, when they were expensive and lousy and 2 megapixels was considered high res.
Okay.
So I shot a whole lot of those and I wanted to, you know, bring them in. I already have those in folders according to year. So like I don't have to worry about finding, you know, organizing them in that respect. And the files a long time ago, I had renamed using Apple's Automator thing, which there must be a program like that available for the Windows, where you can basically drag a whole bunch of files and apply an action to them all at once. Right. So you have thousands of files. You can add a, you know, a year and a month. So what I would do is I would basically add the year and then the month to the front of that file name.
Right.
So DSCN_2346 becomes 2003-12-2346.
Right.
I wanted to keep the last four digits just in case I ever needed to reference it in the future. Not that important.
Gotcha.
So I have that. Those are how they exist now. So I create a collection for each year in Lightroom, and then I bring all those photos in at once. Everything. All the photos I shot and never culled.
Right.
Copied them to a new location, did not rename them since they already have individual names. And then I start going through them, and I start starring the ones I'm going to keep. Just throwing one star on it. Now, I'm keeping 1 out of 10 at best. There's so much garbage to get rid of. Now, I did copy these so that I still have all of them somewhere, which normally I don't do. Now I delete them immediately, but those I just think they're so small, I'll just, you know, zip them up, and if I ever need to find something, you know, Monica Lewinsky, I can do it. But moving forward, I don't do that. Once I'm done picking the ones I'm going to keep, I simply select all the unrated images, flag them as rejects, and then it's easy to delete those rejects from the Lightroom library and also from the disk entirely. Okay? Mm-hmm. So far, are you still awake?
I'm still awake.
Okay. Next, I do the exact same process with all the JPEGs I shot with my DSLR. Pre-Aperture. Before I used Aperture, I have folders and folders of JPEGs that I never bothered to edit. Do the exact same process. Bring them in, cull them down, keep the ones I want.
Okay.
Then my film images. I have all my film images that have been scanned. Some scanned, some haven't been scanned. I have to go through and scan a whole bunch of negatives. That's on another rainy day that's going to happen. This is going to be like a long process. Not okay. All covered today.
Thank you.
Throw in my iPad and my wife's iPad and iPod photos that we've taken that aren't always great quality, but they are of moments that I took them because that's all I had at the time. You know, like maybe we were out at the swimming pool or something like that, and so I snapped a photo that I'm not going to get printed, but I kind of want to keep that moment. Go through, and I got to bring all of these in. Okay?
Yep.
Now, lastly, of all these photos, I have my RAW files to deal with. I have all those RAW files I shot from 2008 till 2015, which is like 5.5 years of RAW files that I don't want to keep going. I don't want to keep loading up Aperture, a legacy program, just to see them.
Right.
So what's the plan? I want them in Lightroom too. What's the plan? I'm asking you what the plan is, just to keep you involved.
You're gonna import those photos into Lightroom.
Okay. First step, convert them all to JPEG.
Yeah.
That's what I have to do.
Because you don't wanna reprocess.
There's no chance. There's no way I'm gonna go back and reprocess
them. Yeah, that'll take you 6 years.
And I've heard that, you know, people do that. They'll export the JPEG and then bring the RAW file into Lightroom. And then basically have the two images side by side and tweak the RAW to look like the JPEG.
Oh, yeah.
I would rather just set fire to my computer.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not doing that.
And so part of it is there's a nostalgia to the fact that that's how you edited it.
I loved blue or back then. I loved, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever. So it's fine.
I love that slider too much.
Yeah.
So what I did was I'm going back. I'm in the process of doing it now. Is going back and opening Aperture, and basically exporting all the images from that year, because I have in my Aperture, I have each year as its separate library.
Okay.
So I will go in and open up, you know, 2014 and export every single raw image I took that year, like 6,000 or something, as JPEGs, full res JPEGs. And then I will bring those images into Lightroom, because I figure I probably won't. All I'm going to do with them probably is get them printed, which I can do with the full res JPEGs.
Mm-hmm.
Resize them, which I can do for email, should I need to do that, or post them online or whatever it is, or crop them, which I can do. You can do all those things with the full res JPEGs and not have a problem. In terms of, am I going to adjust? You know, white balance, probably not going to bother. It's not going to come up. So the full res JPEGs will be good enough. So I'll export all my old RAW files, bring them all into Lightroom, and then deal with them the exact same way. Good news is I don't have to cull them. Those ones I've already done. I've already eliminated the chaff. Just bringing in the wheat on this one.
Right.
So that part is done at least. Okay.
I'm gonna say at this point I'm gonna refer to you as a digital hoarder.
No, I'm the opposite.
No, you got to take a good long look in the mirror.
But I'm throwing stuff out. I a hoarder?
But you're gonna still keep like 6,000 pictures of all those 20,000.
What are you talking about?
Well, all the photos that you're talking about, you know, I think you could basically just, you know, from 2010, print the photos that you like, put them in an album, and be done with them. I really don't think that you need to keep digital copy of all those photos.
I disagree.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying maybe you only need to keep 100 photos from a year. You don't need to keep 1,000 photos from a year or 500 photos from a year. I think you still have too many photos that you're never going to reference or look at again.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well,
I have some of the same problem, but probably one quarter as many kept. Like I find that the big thing is that my wife's been doing in terms of amalgamation is every year, I think you do this too, making kind of a yearbook for each kid. So mm-hmm. she does that every year, making a calendar. If all my photos disappeared, I would still feel like, well, we've got every year printed as a yearbook for the kids.
Yes.
And every year we've got printed as a calendar. And again, that's only 12 photos for the calendar, or maybe 15 if there's a few that have more than one, you know, picture on a page. And then, you know, there are 50, 60 photos in each kid's yearbook for the year. But those are the best photos for the most part. They're the memorable moments. And I think really that's all I need. Now, again, I'm keeping a lot of these great, or my feeling of these great photos as a just in case. When am I ever going to use them or do anything with them?
No, that's interesting because a lot of what I shot, like, you know, and I used to shoot digital video for, like, that was, you know, my job, would be shooting, you know, weddings, corporate projects, or whatever it was. I would shoot on the Canon XL1 onto little miniature DV tapes. Which I built into when I priced a job, I built into that price the fact that, okay, these tapes cost $8 each. I'm going to need 6 of them, so I would basically charge the client $48 on top of whatever else for those tapes.
Right.
So that they would exist forever. They'd right. always have the. Now, recently, when I was going through a bunch of my old stuff back in Vancouver and getting rid of some stuff, I came across these tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to rent 2 moving trucks essentially to get, you know, for these tapes. I didn't. I just threw them out. I basically went through and decided I don't need these. I'm not getting a lot of calls from so and so saying, "Hey, remember that corporate project we shot in 2003? Do you have the raw footage from the tugboats?"
Right.
That call doesn't come up. And if it does, what's the outcome? Like, what is the possible outcome? Like, yeah, I'd like to buy that. It's $30. So I'm going to be the hoarder that you're talking about, have a yeah. closet full of nothing for maybe make $30 one day. But that's crazy. So I threw out like 99% of those tapes because you can't right. use them today.
Right, right. But I'm even thinking, what the heck are you ever going to do with those point-and-shoot photos that were taken pre your kids?
Oh, I embarrass my friends with them. There's a yeah. lot of stuff on there of
okay, all right. people we'll being, keep, yeah. keep the embarrassing ones to your friends, but I'm just thinking, anything you took there, it's never going to come up. When someone films the documentary of your life, I'm sure you can grab, you know, 25 photos. That's all that's going to be.
Oh, no, needed. those images will go way down. Like, when I say 1 in 10, that's way high. I would keep way less than that. I think like, some years, and these are times where I just shot and shot and shot. And, like, my first trip to Europe, for example. My yeah. first trip here, and I went to, there's a castle not far from here. A big palace that's amazing, and Napoleon visited once. And Napoleon, when Napoleon came, Napoleon gave the king Ludwig a gift. It was a portrait of Napoleon, which I thought was pretty kind of a jerk move, but that was his gift. And there's the portrait of Napoleon hanging on the wall. Well, I got like 8 pictures of that.
Right.
I kept 0 of them. I went through. I looked at them now, and I thought, why do I have this?
But I'm thinking here. So here's what I'm thinking as you're describing the process and what's involved and going through these and sorting them and blah blah blah. What I'm thinking is, okay, so I have pretty much sorted from 2012 on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wait for this single instance where I'm looking for a photo from 2011 before I ever organize this. I'm pretty certain that day will never come.
But that will never come because you'll think of it. For example, there was the time that you and I and a bunch of people, but one of the first times you and I ever hung out was up at Whistler.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. What year was that?
No clue.
Yeah. I looked for some reason. I was thinking about that. I can't remember either. You know, so I was looking through photos. I ended up finding it. Don't remember what year it was, but the point is, you know, if I want a picture from that event, which I did for something, I couldn't find it because I had a million photos I don't need.
Right.
So part of this amalgamation, most of it is deleting. It isn't okay, how can I save everything? Right. I do want to get, like, I will get rid of so many. So for example, from like 2004, I think I already did. I think I probably had like, that was the year that I went to Europe the first time and took about 16,000 photos of nothing. Like absolutely nothing. I looked through, I think out of the 1,500 or 2,000 photos I took in my 10 days in Europe, I think I kept 9 of them. Like, okay. Like it's that low. It's ridiculous how few I needed. But those 9 were never being, and I enjoy those 9. You know, I look at them now and go, oh, that reminds me of this. Now I know what I did and you know, all that. Those 9 languished in amongst those 2,000 nothings. So I did. I'm happy I got rid of them.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
Okay. So just so you know, that I wasn't a hoarder in that I thought, I better keep all of these. I was just too lazy to deal with them.
Okay.
All right. And I've since changed my habits to not shoot everything. You know, definitely dial that back. So.
Well, I even take it a step further. I feel like I hardly shoot anything, and if I go and take 30 photos, I still feel like that was 24 too many.
Yes.
Like, I literally want to now start going to places and take one photo.
One shot at them.
Yeah, one shot. I mean, I don't know if I will ever actually do that, but that's mm-hmm. kind of how I feel. I usually feel like if I take my camera somewhere and take 30 photos, I might get 10 photos that I like. I basically am probably never going to get more than one printed.
Yes.
From a single event. It's pretty rare that I would think, I'm going to get 3 of these printed from the pretty much the same event that I was at.
No need.
Maybe two.
Well, you look back, like I look back at the pictures of me on my 8th birthday, and I don't think back and think, wow, I wish I had 46 more photos of that birthday cake.
Yeah.
Damn, you know what's missing? A 13th angle of my R2-D2 cake. That's the problem here. Which, P.S., that was my 6th birthday, not my 8th.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is so much better. And again, it adds value when you don't have them. So what I did was I convert these to JPEG, my RAW files, because I want to have access to them without having to go back. Okay?
Right.
For whatever reason, whatever I need them for clients, whatever. The good news is I've already renamed those files on import. Like the raw files aren't
ready to go.
Yeah, they're not. The raw files aren't named IMG blah blah blah. They're named 2011-10-whatever. So from right. October, so that I can just leave those. Now the JPEGs are going to be named the same. I don't rename them on the way into to Lightroom. So if I ever need that raw file, which P.S. I won't, I can actually go and quite easily find that corresponding raw file and bring that one into Lightroom. And reprocess it.
Gotcha.
Again, never going to happen. Not going out of my way to set that up. It's not necessary. It's just being organized allows for that.
Right.
Now the idea is that at this point, all of my images in this JPEG form, all of the ones that I keep and have access to, will fit on my internal laptop drive because I'm a laptop guy.
Okay.
I wish I was a desktop guy, but the travel dictates that I'm a laptop guy. Laptop drives are getting very, very cheap and large as well. So you can fit this on. Like I think I have a 1 terabyte internal drive, which is not my actual operating system. I have 2 drives in my MacBook Pro. Pulled the optical drive out. Put a dedicated hard drive in, and that's where everything exists. So space is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they exist elsewhere as a backup because you don't want to lose them, etc. But originally, I think we're coming right to the end here.
Oh yes,
already should have been a 3-parter, but no one would have listened to parts 2 and 3.
Right.
Originally, I used to try to separate all my different camera types into separate albums, collections, whatever, like my DSLRs are here, my other stuff I shot would be here. But then I thought, like, when you're looking at these images, you kind of want to relive that moment or see what was going on. You don't really care what it was shot with.
I agree.
So I'm putting now going to put everything into like 1 month, for example. Like everything I shoot.
Chronological makes more sense.
Assuming you have your original camera settings correct at the time.
Right.
Generally, which for the most part I do. A few exceptions where I accidentally was off by a year, which kind of threw a monkey wrench into the EXIF data. But you can basically tell Lightroom, all right, sort these by capture time. And that way it doesn't matter about the name of your image.
Right.
It'll just put them in the order they were shot, and then you can basically have a nice, you know, flow to them. And that's my plan. That's how I like them. I like that month to be there. Okay, great. That's what we did. Especially with the kids. It's nice to watch the kids grow, all that stuff. So that's where we're at.
Okay.
If I need to know a particular camera or resolution or whatever, I can use the EXIF data to search or make smart albums or whatever, if that's necessary. I don't need to organize that myself. The computer will handle that.
Right.
All right. Challenge for next week. Stay awake the whole episode. That's your challenge.
What do you have one?
Yes. That challenge next week is shoot 3,000 pictures and then whittle it down to 100. or something I kind of have been thinking about, a slash of light.
Slash.
Let's go with B, slash of light.
Okay.
That's the challenge, slash of light.
Okay.
Websites. Adam, where can people find both of your images?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
That'd be awesome if all you have is one photo on there.
Yeah, I think that's the way I'm headed. and Roman Reigns video on Facebook, on the Two Hosers Facebook.
But for a limited time, you're going to delete it by Wednesday.
Yeah, anybody who doesn't see it by then.
Yep, too late. Yeah. Too late. I like the idea of being one-shot Adam.
Yeah, I was thinking get a t-shirt.
Yes. Oh. That could be a t-shirt. That could be a whole thing. I might cut this out because we don't give it away.
Okay.
No, it's going to be a t-shirt, and then I'll tell you why after. Okay. my stuff, alanatridge.com, or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything that we just talked about, links, etc. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.